Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Previously on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
This opens up because Pittsburgh has always sort of liked Justin. That's at least what some people have reported. Russell Wilson, I believe, is their only quarterback there. If they were having talks, hey, do you want Justin for a second-round pick to be your starter? Now, if they're now shopping Justin for as a backup with Russell Wilson, now are you thinking about does Pittsburgh reopen conversations with the Bears as a backup quarterback? And maybe, like I suggested to you, hey, could you get a fourth for Justin from Pittsburgh? And then do you look at it as, hey, I just acquired Keenan Allen for Justin Fields. If you get a fourth for Justin, not bad. That was Friday in our short show.
I didn't go to Green Bay, so I didn't know what I was talking about.
I didn't draft Pittsburgh though in our draft, but that was just
why not. I mean, you laid it out perfectly. Who'd you pick? Philly?
No, I forget who I picked.
The Browns pick was where you went wrong.
The Browns pick was bad. I don't think anyone picked Pittsburgh.
No one
in
had Pittsburgh.
16 teams, we were over 16.
Why we didn't do all 32?
Do you know why no one picked Pittsburgh? They had Kenny Pickett at the time. And this was after the Kenny Pickett move.
And then Kenny Pickett got a little antsy after they signed Russ, I guess. Isn't that the news? It said, look, I don't want to be here. And they said, fine, get your ass packed up and get out.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I know, like, everyone say, hey, like, look how well Pittsburgh did. It is a no-lose situation for Pittsburgh to get Justin Fields for a sixth. But let's not forget, it was just 2 years ago that they drafted Kenny Pickett with a first.
Of course.
And they let go of Kenny Pickett for swapping pick 120 for pick 98. So it was just a pick swap, and they get 2 seventh-round picks. It's not like they made out great either for their busted first-round pick and a pick swap and 2 seventh-round picks. It's not like their quarterback room these last several years with Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett has been great. It's not like... I know their place is much better than our place has been. I get that. I'm not bringing them down to boost us up. I'm just saying it's not like their offense. They have fired a lot of offensive coordinators there. Mike Tomlin has not gotten his offense right since the last couple of years of Ben Roethlisberger.
A couple of weeks ago, I resisted the thought that, well, listen, you know what? You know where you need to go to get fixed is Pittsburgh. I love Mike Tomlin, and I like what he has done in Pittsburgh. But offensively in recent years, like they've had their own quarterback issues. They had to fire Matt Canada. Like Big Ben, after Big Ben, they had no answer.
Do you know what their answer is this year? Is Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in their free agent years.
Yeah.
They don't have either signed for next year. They're hoping one of them shows them enough to be their starter next year. And if they don't, they're probably going to be another 9-win team with no draft pick to pick their future quarterback. So, like, again, before you throw all these bouquets at Pittsburgh for, oh, look at the work that they did to acquire cheap quarterbacks.
They just waved goodbye to a first-round quarterback who was in your system for 2 years.
And they don't have a sure thing in their quarterback room either.
No.
So again, I find it sort of funny that everyone's bowing at their feet. They haven't won a playoff game either since 2016.
Right.
All right. So let's get to the poll stuff here. So how would you, from a Bears standpoint, before Tyler goes to all the trades, he loves to make a deal. Waddle, what grade would you give polls on this deal?
This deal with Justin Fields?
Yes. Alone.
I mean, I give him a B.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, what? I don't have any information that says he cost himself. I don't think he misplayed his hand in a dramatic fashion.
I don't think
I don't think that he turned down a 3 or a 4 to give Justin to the Steelers for a conditional six just because he wanted to do right by the quarterback, I think it was a difficult trade because I think the majority of the league viewed him as a backup. And I believe the Bears, at least initially, considered him to be more valuable than that.
I'm not going to rip him for it, but I'm not going to give him like an above average grade. Like, this is a C at best. This is an average deal. It's a C-minus, probably.
He traded him before a time where it could have gotten messy, in my opinion. So that's why maybe I... Look, the compensation is the compensation. Yeah, the compensation's the compensation. But, in my opinion, you needed to do this sooner rather than later. So the timing of it maybe, from my perspective, elevates the grade.
All right, I'll give him a C because of that. Okay. I give him an average on this. See, there was nothing... Nothing good, nothing bad about it. You got a late-round pick that could be a fourth-round pick if he plays.
If you could have been stubborn and taken him with him into training camp.
Well, then it's a D or an F.
Yeah.
But I'm giving him, like, there's nothing to rave about, nothing to rip about.
No, but when I feel relief, I have a tendency to maybe give you a better grade.
Okay.
And I feel tremendous relief.
Do you guys want to grade it?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Sylvie. I would give that the trade itself a C.
Maller?
So I think you guys are a little, or maybe I'm just a stricter grader. I'm giving him a D+. I think, granted, the headache of having Justin Fields in the locker room would not have been ideal. However, I think the decision to trade him before the NFL draft came, and you only get a six back, the conditional six, of course, it could be a fourth, but I think on draft night, at least after day one, I can't imagine there was a scenario where he could not have gotten this same deal on day two of the draft. And so,
what if Pittsburgh fills their backup spot before the draft?
Then there's nobody. Who are they filling it with? Another free agent?
Tannehill.
There you go, Tannehill.
They're really I think. The Steelers, the reason they were willing to make the deal was because Justin Fields is a lot more tantalizing than Ryan Tannehill. They've got Russell Wilson already in the building. He's your veteran presence. Fields is the upside play. I don't think this deal would not have been there for them on the second night of the NFL draft.
We kept saying that about other teams, and then the next thing you know, you would blink and they would fill someone up. Some other job would get filled by someone.
When's the draft?
April 25th.
5 weeks away still.
I may elevate the grade to an A. I didn't want to go through this for the next 5 years.
That's fine. But
I'm my
just
own
think,
professor.
As a GM, I don't think this trade would not have been there. A conditional six-round pick, I think, would have been there on draft night. From somebody. It didn't have to even be the Steelers.
Okay. Well, let's go through all of his trades.
All right. So
go ahead.
Do you want me to go through the list here? Starting in 2022, one of the first moves that Ryan Poles made was trading Khalil Mack to the Chargers for a 2022 second round pick that turned into Jaquan Brisker and a 2023 sixth rounder, which Ryan Poles then flipped back to the Chargers for 2/7.
That's an A minus. Like, what have the Chargers won? This is a guy like you're resetting, you're rebuilding. You have got and you got yourself a second round pick for a high salaried player when you needed to reset the cap, and you got a building block player in Jaquan Brisker. That's an A minus, B plus.
Yeah. I'm with you. This was a no-brainer. This was the right thing to do. So, I gave you a B+.
I gave him a B for that.
Wow.
I would give him an A- as well.
Okay.
All right, next, trading.
By the way, is 90 an A- or what is it?
90 is an A-.
93
yeah.
Yeah, above is an A.
What I would have done to those teachers.
Excuse me?
The teachers with the strict grading scale of the 93 to 90, screw those teachers. The 93 to 100 is an A, 92 to 85 is a B. F those teachers. F them.
You wanted the standards lower.
This isn't Russia. No, we go.
Is that what they do in Russia?
Yeah, we go.
I think in Russia it's 98 and above is an A.
We go 90 to 100 is an A. 80 to 89 is a B, 70 to 79 is a C, and you get to go all the way down to 60 for a D.
making America mediocre again, right?
Yes.
Russia or Catholic school, because I had a 93 and up was the only way to get an A.
That sucks. Screw those teachers.
Maybe that is why I have this ingrained, stricter grading process. I went through it for 12 years of my life.
Yeah. We need a 90. We need an 89 and a half to get an A minus.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you round up.
Yeah. Love it.
All right, next trade here was trading a 2024 seventh to the Patriots in exchange for N'Keal Harry.
No harm, no foul. It was a good try, but I can't give that anything good. So that's a D plus.
I mean, that's a non-factor. That's a C for me.
It's like, D's get degrees. Yeah, I'm not going to fail you.
D's what? D's not straight.
I'm not going to fail you, but you're not getting a.
It doesn't move me. That's a C.
Yeah, I think you hit on it. I give it a D as well. It's a bare minimum. You got by, but
it's worth a try.
It's like an incomplete almost, but yeah.
But a D is bad. A D's not average.
Like you said, no effort, though.
You passed the course.
D's are bad. I mean, I think it was a bad trade.
I think it's a C.
It was just an
A.
Okay.
But you didn't lose anything.
No, you lost a seventh round pick.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Next one, trading Robert Quinn to the Eagles for a 2023 fourth rounder that turned into Tyler Scott.
That's a good solid A. Good solid A. And I don't believe Robert Quinn did anything with the Eagles.
Do we factor in who he drafted, though, for
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. For me, it's
for
almost
a fourth.
At least part of the calculus.
Okay.
Who you're getting at that point. So the trade itself
is just the general pick for me.
I like the trade. It's a solid B to B plus for me. I can't give it an A because of who they
drafted. I'm not even looking at who they drafted with the pick. I'm just looking at when you made the trade, you got a fourth rounder in return for Robert Quinn. That's an A.
It was the process.
Quinn was coming off of a 19 sack season?
Yeah. He set the record.
But he did nothing that year.
Yeah, he barely played any snaps from then on.
Yeah.
I would give it an A minus.
Okay.
I gave it a C plus.
Wow, Meller. Jeez.
All right, next trade.
You don't want to take that class.
Are you this hard on your kids?
Oh, yeah. They know not to come home with anything less than an A.
Well, what if they try really hard, but for whatever reason.
When they achieve straight A's, they are compensated. Very well, I will say that.
What is very well?
$50 if they come home with straight A's.
Dinner.
They come home with $50 if they come home with straight A's.
They get to sleep inside.
What happens if, for whatever reason, the kids don't process calculus well and they get a B? Inside. Then what happens?
Then there's no monetary reward.
Wait, do they get shunned?
What if one gets an A and
one gets a B? Does one get treated differently than the other?
Oh.
We haven't had this scenario yet. They've come home with straight A's.
Wow, they've never had a B?
They actually.
Would you want to have a B in that house?
They did.
You'd be locked outside.
There's some electives that we don't even count. So
what? Like which one? Art?
I don't even know. No, it's not art. It's like
how are you racking up electives for kids that are just barely teenagers?
It's eighth grade. I can pull up what I don't even know what their electives are, but I'll pull it up and let you know here in a minute.
All right, what's next?
Next one, same trade deadline, trading Roquan Smith to the Ravens for a 2023 second that turned into Jervon Dexter and a 2023 fifth, which was Noah Sewell.
See, I like this deal. I know Roquan's done it. This was the definition of a win-win deal because Baltimore's won, the Bears have won.
Good B plus. Give me a B plus.
Yeah, I'm going to go B plus too because, and then it opened up the salary cap for them to fit multiple players in, and they added a really good player for him. So, like, what did we say? They fit three linebackers in for his price.
Yeah,
they were able to do. And then you drafted Dexter,
who hopefully will be your starting three technique. But again, I'm not even looking at who they drafted.
See, I am though. I am. So that's a B plus to an A minus.
I give it a B. Roquan's a good player.
But the trade is one thing. The picking and developing of the player is an entirely different aspect. So you're making the trade.
Which player you get.
But that's player evaluation. This is wheeling and dealing. This class is for wheeling and dealing, your trade capacity. You may be a whiz bang of a trader, but you suck at identifying talent. But the trade was good.
Like, for instance,
you just didn't pick the right guy.
Like, I was thinking about this before. Like, one of the off-the-radar moves that, like, the Cubs did in their rebuild that got no pub was when Ryan Dempster was dealt. He was dealt for a really an unpublicized pitcher from the Texas Rangers organization. Remember, he was originally traded to the Braves. He said no to the Braves. Remember this? He said no. They had to back it up. And then they ultimately traded to the Rangers for really a guy with no hype in the Rangers organization. Do you know who that the pitcher ended
Kyle
up being?
Kyle Hendricks.
Kyle Hendricks. Now, at the time, he was – do you give them credit for him developing and who
yes,
he was?
Yes, because you didn't trade the pick for – or you didn't trade the player for a pick. You traded a player for a player. That's different to me. You know who that guy is. So – next.
By the way, Alex got a B-plus in ceramics.
Oh, well, you know what, Alex? Don't plan on eating anytime soon.
No. I said ceramics. The electives.
Time out. You can't bring that weak stuff into the
Listen, into it's this my house, my rules. My house, my rules.
What was the best thing he made in ceramics?
I have no idea, but the comment is, improving in skill set has been shown, has missing assignments. So that's what he got the B-plus for.
Do you know the true change of lifestyle of when Waddle and I used to go to school compared to when the kids go to school these
days?
There
was no ceramics.
Oh, we had ceramics.
Did you?
Oh, we would make clay projects at least. I don't know if they called them ceramics, but one of the first things that we would make with a clay that then they would...
A penis.
Silly was a regular. He was a Demi Moore.
Meller would give him an A if he made that. No, the first thing that we would make, and then we put it in the oven, was an ashtray.
I like it.
Because you're not doing it these days.
Did you use it?
Yeah, every house had to have an ashtray.
Right. You're right, Sylvie. Multiple ashtrays. Right.
You would have to have an ashtray.
Right.
It was the first thing we made in the 70s when we were kids with a clay.
And a beer stein.
All right, everybody. You guess what it's time to make? It's time to make your parents an ashtray.
Yeah. Or yourself.
They show you how to use it in home ec.
You know, and you would have the grooves for the cigarette.
Of course. Wow. You're making an ashtray without the grooves for the cigarette?
We were eight.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Make yourself useful.
Ceramics.
Love it.
All right, go ahead.
All right, next trade.
This hold on. You guys were too lenient.
Just say F.
Ralph Smith, just say F and we'll move on. I give it a D. At the time, I liked it. In retrospect, though, now, they went out of their way to sign Tremaine Edmonds. And honestly, I'd rather they still had Roquan Smith.
We got the jackhammer as well, an undrafted free agent who got playing time, and now he's...
He still was on the roster when Roquan was there.
And then Edwards as well, you were able to fit in as an off linebacker.
I would rather have Roquan Smith at this stage.
Than all
he's,
three of those linebackers? And Jervon Dexter?
They could have had TJ Edwards with Roquan Smith if they wanted. Like, Roquan's making, what, $2 million more than Edmonds?
Per season? I don't think he's making significantly more than that.
Yeah, I think isn't he making the $90 million?
I thought his contract for over 100.
I think it was a little shy of 100. Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought it was like 98, 96.
No, but I'm talking about on a yearly basis. I thought it was like he's 21 got versus.
He's got 5 for 100, and Edmonds is a what? 4 for 72?
75?
Yeah.
For 72.
Yeah.
So, look. And again, it's style. It's defensive style fit.
On a per-year basis, Roquan is making 20 per year. Edmonds is making 18.
Okay. All right, so you graded differently. Fine, let's go. Let's move on. We're still in 2022.
This one's easy. Chase Claypool for a 2023 second.
That's an F.
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 F's across the board. Yeah. Easy one there. All right, I think this one will be easy as well.
F minus on that one.
A.
We're on to 2023. The first trade he made in 2023 was sending the first overall pick to Carolina for DJ Moore, the 9th overall pick, which became Darnell Wright, and a 2024 fourth rounder from Philly, the 61st overall, which was used to trade up to get Tyreek Stevenson, a 2024 first round pick, which is the first overall pick this year, and a 2025 second.
This is why I think it does matter who they draft, because it turns out it makes the trade better, and if Caleb Williams hits, then it will just make it even better. And you look at who hit on each of the other one. But, it's an A.
I'm giving it an A+.
Yeah, A+, fine.
A-plus for me.
Okay, we're all in agreement there.
All right, next one, trading a 2024 sixth-rounder to the Dolphins for Dan Feeney.
That's an F.
It didn't make any sense to me. You could have signed Dan Feeney as a free agent, couldn't you, before the year?
Yeah, you could have signed him. He only played 90, I think Biggs wrote about it over the weekend. I think he only played 90 snaps for the Bears in total. Like, what was the rush to get him, to trade for him? And again, like, I didn't mind the Fields trade, but when you put it and you compare it and you say the Bears traded Justin Fields for the same compensation they gave up for Dan Feeney as a reserve guard, that's enough to make you pull your hair out. So that's an F trade. He's a reserve guard center that you barely played. If you acquired him to be your starting guard, different story.
You drafted a fifth rounder this year, or traded a fifth rounder this year to give you more depth than Dan Feeney.
Right. We'll see what they do with him, but I don't like that one either.
I'm going to give it a D.
You're giving Feeney a D? Why? Because of his mullet?
Maybe the mullet stash combo. I mean, he was on your roster.
Big deal.
Okay.
See, I gave it a same thing. I gave it a D, very similar to the N'Keal Harry trade for me. I think he was trying to salvage the center position, but didn't work out.
I'm going to give it an F there.
Yeah, thank you.
This one is another trade with the Dolphins, sending Chase Claypool to the Dolphins and a 2025 seventh for a 2025 sixth rounder from Miami.
It's basically just giving him away. You're cutting bait. You're getting him off your roster. It's a D. You're getting rid of a guy who was bad in the locker room and unproductive.
I don't think he had any value at that point, so I'll give you a C for that. Separate deal versus you get an F for the trade for him. I'll give you a C for getting rid of him.
Give him a seventh to get a sixth.
Yeah.
I think the fact that you could even get rid of him makes it a B move.
I still gave it an F. I just think the fact that Chase Claypool has the stink all over him, you had to make a deal just to get him off your roster. Otherwise, you're going to release him outright. So I give him an F.
All right. This one was at the deadline this past season, trading a 2024 second for Montez Sweat.
Yeah, look, we questioned it at the time, not sure of a couple of different things, but the way it's looking right now, it's a B plus to an A minus.
My only concern with it was whether or not you were going to get him signed to an extension before he got to free agency, which was basically agreed to for the most part when you made the trade for him. That's an A for me. That's it. You get an A for that.
I gave it a B plus, if only because you're giving up a high asset to obtain him, but obviously it has worked out really well.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A. He has completely flipped the defense there. All right, into the 2024 portion of Ryan Poles' tenure, trading a fifth rounder to the Bills for Ryan Bates.
It's incomplete. I got to see what it's going to do. I don't love it, though. So I'm going to give it a C minus as of now. An incomplete slash C minus, because I don't know what the rush is to grab depth pieces for the line when you could do that in free agency.
I'm going to give it a C, but if he turns out to be their starting center, which I don't think will be the case, I think it'll be the kid that they signed from the Rams.
Coleman Shelton.
But maybe he is. So I'll give it a C also with a to-be-determined attached to it.
I gave him a C+. If this is partially just a little giving Ryan Poles a little bit of faith. He's clearly identified Ryan Bates as somebody he wants on the roster. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
If that's the case, then why don't you give him a better grade for the Roquan Smith trade, because he identified him as someone he didn't want on the roster?
Because I'm watching Roquan Smith lead the Ravens to Pro Bowl caliber, defense. And
I think T.J. Edwards played at a pretty high
level. I'd love to have Edwards and Roquan Smith and not.
But you didn't, so you had Edmonds and
agree
TJ
to disagree.
Edwards,
I don't like the Roquan Smith trade.
Four or five takeaways and sacks.
Professor
and
Meller and Waddle.
Listen, go ahead. You love the Roquan Smith deal.
I think I gave it a B.
Agree to disagree on that one.
I gave it a B, I think.
I'm going to give the Ryan Bates trade a D just because you could have maybe gotten him via free agency if he was a cap casualty and you knew the Bills were going to be trimming. So I'm going to give it a D. And Ryan Bates had once upon a time agreed to a deal with you before, so maybe he would have wanted to be a part of your team. All right, and then the last trade here, trading a 2024 fourth to the Chargers for Keenan Allen.
B plus. Like, again, you're setting the table for a rookie quarterback.
Yep, I'll give you a like, B plus as well.
I know he's getting paid a lot, and who knows, like, wide receivers at 32. We don't know how much more they have left, but he's coming off one of his best seasons. And, again, I think you're going to have another good wide receiver come in, too, besides DJ Moore. So you're not putting all the pressure on him.
Infrastructure. Yes. This helps your infrastructure for your rookie quarterback. I think this is a good move.
I gave this a B with a good chance of moving to a B+/A- if they
can extend
Keenan Allen one more year to make it a 2 or 3 year deal, I would up the grade.
Okay. There you go. If you want to weigh in on the Poles deals, what grade would you give this deal? Your thoughts on the trade over the weekend? We have not talked a lot about the Keenan Allen move. We did on Friday. We had a short show. We could play some of the sound, too. We've got Waddle's World as well, short Waddle's World.
Let's take some calls.
Yeah. All right, we'll take some calls. 312-332-3776.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
And, you know, Waddle's World's not sponsored by anybody, so I think we should take some phone calls. How you feel about the Bears trading Justin Fields? And I have a story about mutant sheep before we get
done
with it.
Mutant sheep?
Yeah.
Okay.
You heard me. Mutant sheep.
Prince on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Prince?
What's going on, fellas?
Everything's good.
I was my reaction to the trade, about time, okay? My issue, however, is with Waddle, okay?
Get in line.
You sit here and you talk about trusting Poles and the process of Poles is transparent.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was going to move move Justin Fields. But yet, the guy keeps telling you he likes Braxton Jones and he's going to keep him. And you're constantly talking about
Braxton Jones.
Tackle.
What do you mean, Braxton? I can still listen. I can still have an opinion about. There's 53 players on the roster.
Opinion.
There's 53 guys crude. On the roster.
But he's telling you he's not going to move Braxton Jones. He brought in a tackle over the weekend to.
Maybe he will
compete against Braxton.
You know what? Listen, you know what? Maybe. Maybe he becomes a swing tackle if he doesn't continue to develop. Maybe there's somebody in the draft with the number 9 pick. It's not a wide receiver that they decide is a guy they can't pass up at tackle. I mean, this thing is still fluid. Braxton Jones has played 2 years in this league.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Braxton Jones has improved each year. He's 2 years into it.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get better.
Really? This is your this is your gripe with me is that I'm not 100% sold on Braxton Jones as your left tackle of the future for the next decade? Really?
No, my issue is that you were right on as far as saying what Poles was going to do on regarding the other thing. You were listening to the singles.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to Braxton Jones, you're not even there. It's like a duality. It's the same issue.
See, I can pivot. I can pivot and actually do two different things at once.
Yeah, okay.
I'm flexible.
That would be nice, especially at our age.
No doubt. Yes, I can't move at all right now. I got a problem like I can't even describe.
I did not think we'd have a Braxton Jones argument today.
Well, this isn't an argument because I don't have the energy nor the inclination to argue about Braxton Jones as your left. I would upgrade if, in fact, that was something that was unavailable. That's what I would do. I want them to be better at center as well. Maybe Ryan Bates is the guy that they – maybe Ryan Bates is their starting center. Look, I was skeptical that you spent a fifth-round pick on a guy that is supposed to provide depth. Like, I really like what Ryan Poles has done in a lot of places, but I can't tell you that everything he has done is –
How about a double center formation?
Well, they've got enough guys to do it now.
Who's the new guy from the Rams again?
Connor something, Bedard.
No, it's not Connor. It's something else.
Coleman Shelton.
Coleman Shelton goes through the legs to Ryan Bates, who goes through the legs in a shotgun variety. Is that legal to
of course
Caleb
it's legal.
Williams?
Of course it is. And I do trust Ryan Poles.
Thomas on the north side.
That was weird.
Thomas on the north side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Thomas? Thomas, what's your problem with Waddle?
He wants no part of this.
he's giving up. Let's go to Rock in Addison.
I feel you.
Rock, I could hear you. I could hear you ruffling around there, Rock.
Sorry about that, brother. I couldn't hear you.
What's going on?
I got a lot, man. This is crazy. Everybody on this station is talking about how this was a great move and, oh, my God, and we're going to get Caleb Williams. You do realize we're doing the same thing we did before. You're going to have a lame duck coach who you should have fired if you were going to get rid of the quarterback, and you didn't. And so now we're right back in the Nagy Fields thing. But this time it'll be Flus and Williams.
Boy, timeout. First of all, we actually were advocates, if in fact you are going to draft a quarterback first overall, of changing the coach. So just for the record, that has been something that we have talked about for years on this show. So go ahead.
No, I agree with you on that. What I'm saying, this is a polls thing. He'll be fired in 2 years because he's dropped the ball on this one. And we got fleeced. Sylvie said this a minute ago. You got a six-round pick for what was a starting quarterback until we traded him. You got the same six-round pick for a backup guard. That's fireable. And now that I said it on the radio, he should be fired.
Well, wait, Rock, look, that is one trade. He also, though, put the Bears in this position by fleecing Carolina. And again, like, that's the headline. Isn't the headline what they did to put themselves in position as a 7-win team to have the number one overall pick? Oh, by the way, they got DJ Moore. They got Tyreek Stevenson. They got next year's second round pick from Carolina. They got all that stuff. And this year's first overall pick. That's the headline. The secondary move is the Justin Fields trade, which isn't perfect. But again, if Caleb Williams hits, no one will remember what the payoff was for Fields.
You're hoping so, Sylvie. The answer to your question is no. No, you're only good as your last move. You blew it.
Which
quarterback room in the league?
What offer do you believe they turned down from a other team that was better than the one they took from the Steelers? Do you know?
You never should have traded them, but no, I don't know. They did
That's a different conversation. It sounds like you're a big field supporter, which is fine. So you're evaluating the value of the deal based on you've got an affinity for the quarterback. What if there was nobody else out there that was willing to trade you anything? Then you wanted to keep them.
Even if there was nobody to trade you now, you traded them too early. You should have waited. You could have waited until there was an injury close to the beginning of the season. There was a lot of things you could have did. You got rid of them now for the same thing you got for a backup guard. That's a triple F minus. And we got to stop talking around this thing. Cap been saying this for months. Oh, we got to swing for the fences. That's not how you do it. It's calculation. You don't just swing the swing. Then you get out. And you lose a lot of games.
Yeah, I don't. But you
Rock, thank you.
Look at what they've done to set up whoever the rookie is. It's going to be Caleb Williams. Not only did you trade for DJ Moore last year, you just traded for Keenan Allen. You locked up your tight end. You signed another tight end. You've diversified your running back room. you've tried to bolster your offensive line. Like, I
don't think swinging for the fences would be if they had the 9th overall pick and they didn't have the number 1 overall pick, and they'd put everything into trading up to number 1, and they gave up everything to go get number 1. To me, this is the opposite of swinging for the fences. They let the game come to them because they made an incredible deal. Again, I don't. The headline is they put themselves in this position by making one of the better trades in Chicago sports history. It could be one of the best trades in Bears history. And that's a situation. Again, if Williams hits, we won't worry about what Fields does or what the return was. If Fields busts, it will all be crap. Then it will be all crap.
If
Caleb Williams busts, it will all be crap. The trade for Fields will be crap. The going for Caleb Williams will be crap. Everything is dependent on what Caleb Williams now does. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course. That's the way it is.
That's how it's going to be.
Right. That's the way it goes.
And there are, like, what is driving me crazy already is there are a lot of people already rooting against him who say they are Bears fans. There are people already rooting against him.
See, I value how they're setting things up maybe more than others. I wasn't for, never was for, having them in the same building at the same time. I didn't think it was good for anybody involved. So if you take a 6th, a conditional 6th, instead of a 5th, if you hold on to him until somebody gets hurt, I don't care. To me, the value is in putting something in place as soon as possible and going forward with it.
You're investing in Caleb Williams.
Yes. So to me, what I got in return for Justin Fields wasn't as important as the room you're building for the group that is going to be in there going forward.
You're more interested in your total portfolio.
Correct.
Instead of one individual stock.
Yes.
Everyone wants the return on this individual stock. Why don't we get more of this individual stock? What the Bears are most interested
in portfolio.
Is their portfolio.
Correct.
Of winning games
now
and the
you're
quarterback.
Talking.
That's
yes.
What.
Now you're the financial advisor. I would just advise, don't get stuck on the return here. Being stuck on the return is a vehicle for people to express their dissatisfaction from moving forward without Justin. This is a way to crap on the Bears and Ryan Poles because he made a decision you don't like, which you're fair to, and it's fair that you feel that way. But don't use what you got in return as the reason why you're going to crap on him. Just continue to crap on him for picking someone other than Justin.
Right.
Don't use what you got in return from the Steelers as the ammo for all of your angst. Because, like, again, for me, I'm just telling you, for me, it was more valuable than a 5th versus a 6th to create an environment for whoever they draft first overall to build that room and that team and that continuity from day one. And you may think I'm foolish and silly and stupid and childish for feeling that way. I don't have any explanation other than that's how I feel.
Yeah. Look, and Rock is right about, like, the coaching thing that could bite them again. They didn't learn from that.
And you and I were on that.
Right. But the one thing that Poles did learn from the past is he is setting the table and the infrastructure better for the offense for the next guy than he did for, and it wasn't his fault on Justin. He inherited that team. He had to do the rebuild to put them in a better position.
They made the decision they were moving on from Justin. To me, the timing of doing that was more important than ultimately the compensation you return. Now, if it was a 6th rounder versus a 2nd rounder, then different conversation.
Yeah, of course.
If I had a bunch of people like Rapp and Shefty and Daniel Jeremiah saying, the Bears turned down a 2nd round pick from somebody to take a 6th from the conditional 6th in 2025 from the Steelers, I would obviously feel differently. I don't believe that was the case. I think the market spoke. And at this point, for me, from my perspective, what's most important is getting your house in order now and moving forward versus dwelling on what you got in return, which wasn't going to be a 2nd or a 3rd or a 4, Because the market told you it wasn't that.
All right, 312-332-3776. More of your calls. It's a rare day where people are going at Waddle more than they're coming at me today. this is a little bit of bizarro world. And we've got Aki's A-List, and Waddle's got the sheep story.
I got a mutant sheep story.
All right, it's all next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
'Farmer faces jail time for breeding massive mutant sheep. A farmer has been caught illegally breeding massive mutant sheep to sell to private hunting reserves for up to $10,000, a court in Montana heard.
So people could hunt them and kill them then?
That's what it sounds like, yeah. Mutant sheep. Arthur Jack Schubarth, I don't know how you get Jack from Arthur, but Arthur, parenthesis, or quotation marks, Jack, we call him Jack.
Everyone gets Jack from a name.
Yeah. Hey, my name's Trent. People call me Jack. What's your name? Steve. But everybody calls me Jack. A farmer has been caught illegally breeding massive mutant sheep. His name is Arthur Jack Schubarth. He's 80, and he owns a 215-acre ranch in Vaughn, Montana, and he pleaded guilty to criminal charges of wildlife trafficking and conspiracy to traffic wildlife at a court in Great Falls on Tuesday.
This sounds like a new storyline for Yellowstone.
Prosecutors say he illegally used tissue and testicles from wild sheep killed by hunters in Central Asia and the U.S. to breed the hybrid sheep for sale.
Tissue and testicles.
How else do you think they make these mutant sheep?
That's next year's fantasy football team name for you, Mellor.
Tissues and testicles or mutant sheep?
I think tissues and testicles.
According to court documents, Jack, we'll call him Jack, conspired with at least five other people between 2013 and 2022 to create a larger hybrid species of sheep that would generate high prices from shooting reserves where people pay to hunt captive trophy game animals. Oh. Mutant sheep.
How 10 big were
grand.
They? How big were they? Were massive.
17 feet tall.
17?
No, I'm joking.
That's a massive sheep.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's nuts. Should we go back to the calls?
Yeah, why not? Okay. Yeah, who else? What else you got? What else is your gripe today?
Todd, yell at Waddle.
What is up, Todd?
Hello?
Hello.
Todd!
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Todd.
Yeah, yell at Waddle.
I'm not yelling at nobody. I think you guys are doing a great job.
Listen,
I've always been told from my dad that quarterback is, out of all the positions, basketball, hockey, football, everything, quarterback's the hardest position in the world to play. And, you know, development, you know, the Bears have had not success in development. I mean, if you notice, every single quarterback that has done well has been developed, season, per se, not just thrown out to the wolves. I mean, even if all these last 5 years, all these top draft choices, other than Burrow and maybe Trevor, I mean, they all haven't done that well. You know, I mean, Rodgers, Love developed, you know, a little bit there. Even Brady, he watched Bledsoe for a little bit. Patrick, mm-hmm. he watched Alex. Rodgers, he stood behind Brett. You know, who can our guys watch? I mean, he's a rookie. Who's going to develop him? Who's going to train him? Other positions you can learn. If you're a wide receiver, you can play against a top wide receivers and learn. But when you come to the pros from college, you know, the speed. Everybody's a pro now. Every position is a pro. The speed of the game is so fast. I just think that unless you have. We could have maybe gone for Cousins. And then draft Cal. I mean, I don't care if it's Calip, Mayo, Nix, Drake. Who's he going to see? Or are we just going to throw him out there?
All right, Todd.
Well, my hope was that whoever it was going to be developed by Jim Harbaugh, but that obviously didn't materialize.
So wait, he was going, like, I understand we're scarred by the lack of development. Again, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to sit or to play. I think if there's a better quarterback in place who's successful, when it's ready to win, then you can you can afford to sit a guy. I think there are many quarterbacks who do sit, who don't make it, who aren't publicized. You know, I think it's a convenient thing to say, this guy made it. There are plenty of guys who took a beating early, like Peyton Manning, and played from jump, and then all of a sudden are great players. C.J. Stroud played. Like, there are guys thrive and guys fail at quarterback, no matter if they start from the jump or if they sit for a year or two, because guys fail all the time at the quarterback position because, like he said to start, it's the hardest position to succeed in all of sports.
I don't think there's a perfect formula. I just don't.
None.
For that reason, it is the hardest position in all of professional sports. I don't believe that there's a perfect formula.
Did Trey Lance start from the jump?
No.
Wasn't it Jimmy Garoppolo?
I believe so.
I think, right? And then in year two he started on the lakefront, I think?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, he did not start his rookie.
So,
yeah.
I could give you other guys who did sit, and they tried to make it where then they gave him the job, and then they didn't make it. There are plenty of guys like those, but you know what? Busts happen in all shapes and forms, just like guys who thrive have happened in year three because they sat for 2 years or because they started right away because they had to.
They have significantly improved the infrastructure for this young quarterback coming into this situation. It is entirely different than it was for Justin 3 years ago. And anybody would tell you that infrastructure was lacking on a number of fronts. Nobody would deny that. The goal, as Ryan Poles has said, is to create an infrastructure for a young quarterback that person can thrive in at an early, in an early stage. And the infrastructure for the quarterback is going to be significantly better this year.
Right. Right. Like Josh Allen, I don't think started right away, but I think he played the bulk of his rookie year and he was bad. And then his second year, I don't think he was that good either, but he kept playing and he developed. Like, I'm telling you, it's going to be bumpy. I said this during Justin Fields. It's going to be bumpy. And I was a fan. I want them to take Caleb Williams. There will still be bumpy moments, guys. This isn't going to be just a stoic rookie season. That rarely happens for a rookie quarterback.
What C.J. Stroud did last year was an outlier.
Right. And even he, like I told you, lost to Carolina.
Yeah.
There was still a stretch in the middle there. But for the most part, there were moments. 312-332-3776. More of your calls and Aki's A-List coming up next.